You're listening to Mentoring Developers, episode 84.
Welcome to Mentoring Developers, the podcast for new and aspiring software developers, where we discuss your struggles, anxieties, and career choices. And now, here's your host, Arsalan Ahmed.
Hi everyone, welcome once again to Mentoring Developers. In this exciting episode of Mentoring Developers, I talk to my friend Sara. Her story and her career progression is inspirational, especially for women and people who come into technology from other professions. Get ready for this amazing, no-holds-barred discussion about women in technology right now. So, Sara Inés Calderón is a mobile app developer, iOS, Android, using React Native. She's also a community leader. She's a writer. She's based in Austin, Texas, works as a lead mobile developer, and worked for many companies, including music app developers, and she is a rock star, if you know what I mean. I don't really like that term, but I think it applies to her. And you're going to really enjoy this interview. This great interview, episode 84, with Sara Inés Calderón. Here we go. Hi, everyone. Welcome again to Mentoring Developers. This is a podcast and a YouTube show. If you are a new developer, if you want to be a developer, if you have questions that nobody answers, and you want to meet cool people so you get inspired, and today we have one of those cool people as a repeat guest, Sara Inés. How are you,
Sara? Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Today is Thanksgiving, and this is how dedicated we are. We're doing a show, we're recording a show on Thanksgiving. But the cool thing is that, Sara, you've been on this show many times, and you've seen how it works. And when I first interviewed you, you were just getting started. You were a journalist, and you're just getting into this. Later, I interviewed you when you got your first job or your second job. And so we've been following you. Longtime listeners know about you. But people who may not know you so well, give them a little background on who you are and what you're doing right now.
Sure. So first of all, thank you so much for having me, not just this time, but all the previous times that you mentioned as well on the show. So I live in Austin, Texas. I have also lived in Los Angeles. I originally started out working as a newspaper reporter. So I worked at several newspapers here in Texas. In 2009, I, along with a lot of other journalists, got laid off. And so I was kind of like drifting. I kind of found my way to tech journalism and blogging and digital media work for a few years, and then realized that really media was becoming technology. And so I thought, okay, I need to figure out how to transition into technology. Just in time, I got laid off from that and went to the code school called Sabio, which is based in LA. And I learned, full stack.net stuff. I didn't end up doing the other parts of the stack. I really like UI engineering. So I did Angular as a web developer, and then I did React as a web developer. And then I found my way to React Native, which is a JavaScript library, a JavaScript tool that enables you to build mobile applications, desktop applications. You can build websites with it now, I believe, as well. But it's just like a really cool tool that I really enjoy. And so I've been doing that for about 3.5 years. And in that time, I've had an opportunity to really, speaking of the name of the show, really start mentoring people. And I'd say that's probably my favorite part of the job, is working with people over time and seeing them just become much better and smarter and more skilled than I am. And teach me things, right? And so now I, earlier this year, a couple months ago, launched my own kind of app development firm called Tercera. And what we're really striving to do is to, work with women and people of color clients, have a, junior developer program, apprenticeship program, where we want to work with people who are kind of trying to get their break in this industry. And then we donate to different, social justice organizations for every project that affect communities of color or that work with communities of color. So that's really what I'm doing this year is just, my current interest is application security, which obviously is different across, slightly different between web and mobile, although they obviously share some things in common. So that's a little bit about me.
That's amazing. Not only that you have progressed so much in the last few years, you went from just a newbie developer, like, I don't know how to do this, and being stressed out to being able to move through your careers and manage people. Because if you are in a niche industry, as you were with React and React Native, all of a sudden you found yourself in a position where you certainly knew more than your peers. And so this is how you can move up sometimes. Yeah. If you had actually gone to .NET, it wouldn't have been that easy because .NET is so established and so commonplace. Yeah. There's so many people who do .NET, but very few people know these kind of newer or more exciting, but a little bit scary technologies for old people like us. We have a problem. I go to a lot of meetups and I meet a lot of people, and people are always concerned about all of these new frameworks and new technologies coming out because they're really deep down, they're afraid because they're getting their skill set is moving away from where the industry is. But if you're right at the cusp of it, right at the cutting edge, then you have opportunities that you did. But not only that, you didn't just settle for a job. You decided that, okay, I can do one better. I can actually be my own boss, control my time, which is great. And not only that, and you're giving back to the community and you speak very well. So we know you write well. So you have all of the ingredients. All we need is perseverance and opportunity, which you will get, I'm sure.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope so.
Absolutely. And so people who are listening right now or watching, they should get a lot of inspiration from that because you can be somebody who does not have any background in computer science. Yeah. You didn't go to college for computer science. You just went to a code academy.
Yeah.
And we've had people from Savio here. We've interviewed on this podcast before. It's great. But that doesn't necessarily give you all the tools. It just gives you a little bit of an in and you have something to work with. But if you had instead actually got a job, you would have gone there too. So you can get there as long as you want to and you're interested and you have a little bit of an aptitude. You could, anybody could make it.
Yeah.
And, but now you've just happened upon this new set of technology, not only that is new, high in demand, very low in supply, but also it's cool, it's interesting, and it's expanding.
Yeah. Well, and that's a really good point. I mean, to any of the listeners or viewers here who are thinking about transitioning or have transitioned, I will just be completely honest that I was like the least, in my perception, the least smart person in my code school class. Like, I just wasn't getting it. You know, I felt like people could just jump right into their tickets without like really thinking about it. And I was just like, why am I so stupid? And so I think, you know, and that's really kind of what inspired me too with my own company was that it wasn't really until I was in an environment where people genuinely wanted me to be successful. And I had that support that I felt like, oh yeah, like I can figure this out. And lo and behold, like I have figured this out. I mean, I have had, as I'm sure, you know, you have, as I'm sure folks who are, well, you know, seeing this or listening to this have, I've had problems that are not documented anywhere. They're not in the documentation. They're not in the GitHub issues. You just have to like stubbornly keep commenting things in and out, trying things that make no sense until you figure out what it is. And that's to your earlier point, what really gives me my expertise, because this is a new platform. React Native is not even V1 yet. It's like V63, 64 as of now, 0.63 or 64, right? And when I started, it was like in the high 30s, early 40s. So I've seen the kind of evolution of that technology. And to your point, I did not study computer science. And one thing that I will say is for folks who think that that might hold them back, in my experience, you don't really need to get super duper familiar with these like very hardcore computer science things until you're like start to hit your mid-level career. Because if you're working in a place that knows what they're doing, they shouldn't be giving those types of responsibilities. And you know, thankfully everything's on the internet. So you can buy a Udemy class, you can watch a YouTube channel, you can read the, you know, JavaScript documentation, you can look stuff up on Stack Overflow, like, you know, stuff. I hear myself saying things now about JavaScript or React, and I have these kind of like out of body moments where I'm like, did I just say all that really nerdy stuff? Wow. Okay. So, to your point, yes, you can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So yeah.
That's great. So, but what you need is anybody can do it, but you really need to want to do it because it gets frustrating.
It's so frustrating.
And it's absolutely- sometimes you're just in a bad place, like not only bad place mentally, but you're in a bad company or working in a team that just doesn't work. They don't care. They don't give you mentorship. They don't give you any support. It happens. Happened to you, happened to me, happens to a lot of people. When you're starting out, when you're unsure of yourself, that's when you need to persevere. Maybe change companies. But after a year or two, it starts to make sense. Right?
Absolutely. I think one of the previous times we spoke, you know, I was asking you about like arrow functions or something because they just come out with a new JavaScript. And everybody was talking about them. And I was working at a place that said they would train me in React when they hired me. Instead, I got there. The engineer who was supposed to train me turns out doesn't like talking to people. And there was no documentation. And then after a few weeks, they just expected me to start churning out tickets. And I was like so terrified. But, you know, did my best and figured stuff out. I mean, what else is there, right? You just got to like make it happen. So, but yeah, and I think that's, you know, something that you mentioned, that's what's like so important is that I really like, right? As opposed to journalism or some other career is that in this, you know, field, especially now because of COVID in the United States, there's a lot of opportunities for, in our field, unfortunately, because a lot of things that used to be in person are now being automated. But you can find a job. You can always find something, especially with these platforms like Upwork or freelancer.com or Fiverr, whatever. Like if you just like say, I want to build 5 websites for 5 different people, you can do that. You know, or if you decide like, I don't want to work at this job anymore. I'm going to do this 3-month contract. You can do that. And, you know, unfortunately, that might mean you're going into a worse environment than you were before, but, you have that freedom of mobility and I think a lot lower risk than, you know, more kind of quote unquote traditional jobs.
Right. So people who may not know this, I would describe the types of jobs that you can get into 3 broad categories. One is your regular large enterprise Fortune 500 type company, large company that does something, makes something. Maybe it's a bank, maybe it's a producer of something, and it has probably tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of employees, but they need to maintain their internal websites, their databases. And so there's an IT team that does that to make their business run. The other type of company that I would say is the type of company that provides those services. So they don't actually make anything for themselves. They say, okay, hire me and I will do it for you. The third type of company is the small company that is just starting to get traction. And they don't necessarily have a lot of money, but they are focused on technology. Their product is the technology. They're not producing anything. They're not a bank. But let's say they build an app or they build apps or they build certain types of websites and they may work or they may not work. So you have a lot of choices because software is so pervasive, which means there are literally thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of jobs in your own metro area, wherever you are. Just because, you know, if you're in a large enough area, there's just enough businesses that they needed. So you're not going to run out of options.
Absolutely.
But the problem here is that you have so much choice. it's not a system where, let's say that you are a certain type of engineer, a mechanical engineer or a civil engineer. Yeah. There might be a path for you. You might say, okay, step one, step two, step three. There's no step.
Yeah.
There's no guidance here. So kind of make it as you go. So I think where you are landed right now, where I'd say if you had asked me 5 years ago, if I started and I said, can I, in 5 years, how would you feel if you were running your own small consulting company and you were trying to get clients? You had some, but you know, you may struggle, but that's the path. Is that the long-term future for myself? I would have said that's great because that gives me the freedom and that gives me the ability to scale. Right now, I may be doing everything myself, but I know that if I get big enough, I may hire people. I may not have to do the types of things that maybe I don't want to do, but I can grow this. I can go from $50,000 to $500,000 a year with luck and my effort, right? So I find that you're in a good place. How do you feel about where you are?
So it's interesting, the kind of different careers paths that you outlined. I definitely fell into the smaller businesses. And just for the folks, who are your audience, I would say what I really like about working with startups or small businesses is the way I got into mobile was that when I was working at the place where I was a React web developer, they had a PhoneGap application, which basically just turned your website into a mobile app. It was terrible. But that gave me enough exposure to mobile that when I heard about React Native, I was like, oh yeah, I could do that, you know? I like small companies because it gives you the opportunity to try things and to, kind of develop other skill sets. That being said, you're always going to be doing more than one job and you can't really focus necessarily on just one knife, if you will, because you're always trying to maintain multiple sets of knives. I think I've had my own business, my own LLC, since 2012. I initially used it for like media consulting and media freelancing, but over time I did, take on, different tech projects. And I would say the part that scared me the most was the sales, and the customer service. I think the part that's hard is when you don't have a project manager or you don't have a salesperson. In my experience, especially men, male clients, they think that they can yell at you because they forgot to tell you something, but they don't want to admit that they're wrong or whatever. And that part was really scary to me, honestly, because this industry is already stressful enough. And if you can't deal with conflict as an adult professional, why are you hiring people? But I think what's different for me now is I have a really good set of people that I've met who are open to freelance opportunities. I have a salesperson, I have someone who does project management, like I have a really good friend who's a designer. So I've been able to offload the pieces that were stressful to me, and I can just really focus on being a tech lead, doing the technology, and training the apprentices. So I think what I like about being an entrepreneur or running my own business is kind of like what you were saying, is like, it's a little bit more control, right? Like if I have two or three projects going on, then I know like, you know what, I'm going to take the dog on a long walk right now. And then I'm going to come back and I'll just work until 7 PM. Or, I'm in between two meetings. I'm going to run to the grocery store because nobody's there at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Right.
And then I'll come back and I'll finish this up. And to me, that's really, that's worth it. That's worth its weight in gold, having that kind of freedom. And also what I really like about this business that I'm launching, Tercera, is the opportunity to really kind of develop engineering talent. Because one thing that I hear all the time, because I've done a lot of work with Women Who Code Austin, I've been on the Women Who Code board and things like advisory board and things like that. It's always a man, and they always come up and they say, oh, I have a daughter. What can we do to make technology more, inviting for women? And I never hear a man say, I always defend women in meetings and I make sure that I'm hiring women on my team. that's what I'm doing. They never say that, right? They want me to give them the, you know, answer. And what I would say is that's what I'm doing. What I'm trying to do is develop women of color engineering talent in this industry. And that's kind of like my contribution. And it's also something that I enjoy doing. Like my whole family, they're all teachers, and I never thought that I would enjoy teaching. But what I really enjoy about teaching in terms of mentoring engineers is that when you see like little tidbits that you've given someone over the last few days or weeks, when you see those folks put them together and then take two steps forward past, you realize, you know, that it's just little things that could trip someone up. It's not necessarily because it's hard. It's just, you have to keep explaining things in a different way until it clicks and they can unblock themselves. And, those are magical moments as far as I'm concerned. So, I think about my career working at startups is there's that kind of built-in expectation that, you know, especially if you're a senior engineer, that you're going to just be mentoring people, but not all senior engineers are good at mentoring people, right? Mm-hmm. Like I referenced my React web experience. So I enjoy, doing that work. And I figured out that, and I would encourage your listeners to think about this as well, right? Like you don't have to build your whole company. You can literally just find contracts for yourself, right, and have your company that way. That, you know, I'm, you know, I have 3.5 going, you know, it'll be 4 years in 20, you know, I started in March of 2017. So that'll be 4 years of React Native experience, which is pretty rare. I was an early adopter.
Right.
And I find myself in high demand. But what people want is for me to be W-2, to be their direct employees and have all my healthcare through them and have all my benefits through them and, you know, be on their timeline. And, you know, in today's world, I mean, I've been working remote since before COVID.
Right.
You know, it's like I've invested in building my own at-home office. I have my own corporation. I have my own healthcare. I have my own IRA. Like, why do I need to be W-2 for someone else? You know, and I think that was really kind of a revelation for me was like, you know, I have this expertise. Everybody wants me to give them my expertise so that they can benefit. But I think when you have your own company, you're like, I have this expertise. Why don't you contract my company? And then we can both benefit, right? You get my expertise and I get the tax benefits and I can maintain my own investment or retirement accounts and, you know, handle my own healthcare. Like, and then I have my own office and I have my own write-offs from having my own office. Like, I'm really hoping that if anything, COVID will helped. Everyone wants to talk about the future of work. And my friend was telling me, she's like, it's not the future. It's right now. It's the right now of work. Which is like, why do we need offices? Like, why do we all need to be W-2? Maybe some people want to be W-2, right? And that's great. But why don't we have the option? I mean, it's kind of anti-entrepreneurial and anti-innovative to force everyone
right,
to have this employment, right? It's really to the benefit of large corporations at the end of the day. So, so I know that's a lot of things, but that's my response to, what would I have thought of running my own business 5 years ago?
No, this is great. So you're in a great place because you have this option. A lot of people, if you had chosen other sets of technologies, it may have been harder because what happens, what you're describing is exactly right. I've seen it again and again and again for myself as well, because a few years ago, sure, I was an independent consultant and I really wanted to be independent, but I found it hard to get my own projects because the type of technologies that I'm known for are used in large corporations and they're usually very closed environments. And then you have this situation where they like to hire people because they like to control. I'm not entirely sure why, but I think it's maybe they're afraid of espionage. Maybe they're afraid that their secret data may be leaked. That's probably part of it. And then there's so much, there's so many legal issues. They want to only contract out to certain approved vendors, and then you have to deal with them. And then effectively you become an employee, even if I went through a vendor and I become embedded in their team, then I would still have to show up at the office, and I would be, I and they would sometimes ask the vendors to make the person a W-2. That's another thing that happens.
Yeah.
But even that's in the case where you can be completely independent, but you're working in 9-to-5 in an office, then it's not so much better. However, you still have the opportunity to walk away. But when you're an employee, you are placed on a project, and you have no say. You can't say, I don't like this client, I'm going to get something else. Or if you're working in Java and you feel like, okay, I need to do something else, I need to do Ruby on Rails, you can't do that, right?
Yeah.
And the being independent or running your own agency or being part of an agency where a bunch of you get together and do it together, where you have some say, then it gives you the freedom. I love that. But of course, it comes with some caveats, as you said, insurance and all of that. I know a lot of people who love being W-2, so it's not for everybody. If you like the stability and you like the cadence of work that comes with it, it's less challenging, but it's also very limiting. You're going to make this amount of money no matter how hard you work, right? You may be twice as efficient, or you may have more capacity, but you're never making more money than that. So it's a weird way of work, where you're rewarded for just being there, for showing up, right?
Yeah. Since we're on this topic, like, I think that's something that's interesting to think about, right? Like, what if, so I'll give you a specific example. Yesterday I was talking to a young lady. They're looking for a lead React Native engineer, senior engineer. And the target kept shifting with her. Like, she said, oh, we need someone to build our app. And then it was like, oh, we need someone to build, to lead our team. She wanted someone to be W. They wanted someone to be W-2. Like, they wanted someone to be W-2 because they wanted them to grow with the team. And I'm like, people quit. Like, I think there's this baked in sense of security that, like you were saying, corporations have about, you know, if I have W-2 for whatever reason, it's more secure. But that's one, not reciprocal, right? Because people have been getting laid off left and right.
Mm-hmm.
W-2 people have been getting laid off left and right since this COVID thing started, right? So it's really only secure for one party. And secondly, there's no guarantee that someone's going to stick around. I mean, you and I both know that in this industry, we've already talked about this. Mm-hmm. That's one of the perks, is if you don't, once you get a little bit of expertise, you're like, I don't like this. Bye. You're out. You know, so I'm hoping that the outcome of COVID-19 in this industry is that it gives people a little bit more options, not just to work from home, but also to, you know, work the way that they choose.
Right.
But ultimately, I think, you know, the reason people keep leaving is because those targets keep moving, right? Like, I hired you to be a senior engineer. Now it's your job to lead the team. But, you know, you still have to build the app and also lead the team and also help us with our documentation. And those are three different jobs. And like, now I'm stuck because I'm W-2, or, you know, I leave and now you have to find three different people. So anyway, that's something that's, I think, it's probably not going to necessarily all fall in our favor in terms of contracting, but I think that there will be a little bit of movement in those areas in the next year. So we'll see what happens.
Right. I think, there's lots of bad things that are happening around the world due to COVID. This is one of the good things where companies are beginning to realize, wait, our apps could be built and our systems could run without making people show up to the office at a certain time. In fact, I end up doing more work. I've been working remote for so many years now. And I know for a fact that I work more when I am remote.
Yeah.
Because when I show up to work in my home office, I work. what else am I going to do?
Talk to.
Right. But when I go into an actual office, I don't. I go and I meet people and I have coffee and, you know, we're catching up and there's meetings. Everybody needs to show up at these meetings. and random things happen and you work a little bit and then you have to take a break and then, yes, it's fine. I think it serves a purpose sometimes to have some bonding, but we're not. Yeah. What I don't understand is these companies, they act like they're creating a new family, right? They have these events where you use your, socials out. They always do it outside of work. So they're eating into your lunchtime sometime. And sometimes they do it after work. So after work, why don't you just hang out for another 2 hours? Dude, I have a family, an actual family. Yeah. I'm not going to pretend you're my family. This is work, right? Yeah. So they encroach upon your life and they want to just control every aspect of it. And then what they do is they sometimes they give you free lunches so that you never leave. They don't want you to leave. They want to stay here. And even your lunchtime that they're not paying you for, they want you to spend with the team for team bonding as if they own you, right?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point too. Yeah.
And not only that, they, in a lot of contracts, unfortunately, when we get hired, we sign an employment contract. And if you're not careful, you may be signing away any intellectual property that you may develop on your own time using your own equipment. Yeah. You may be actually assigning it to the company. So if you're somebody who's like, okay, I'm going to get this job, but I'm going to work nights and weekends, I'm going to make this great app, and then maybe that will be my business. But if you sign it off, they may actually own it. That happens.
Yeah.
So
I had an employer this year that I had started as a contractor for. They begged me to convert to W-2, so I did. And then they were super upset when they found out that I was still running stuff through my other company. They thought I was going to like
steal their customers,
steal their team and also steal their runway. And by steal their runway, they meant earn my salary. What? You know, like, it's just like weird, like this concept of family, right?
Right.
Like, you know, if it were a family, all these companies wouldn't have been able to lay off all these people in, you know, 2020 without regard to their safety and well-being and their families. Right. 'Cause that's not how families work.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a family. It's manipulative language to like make it seem like you should be giving up your personal time for this corporate entity, you know, whereas like, you know, and I'm, you know, and kudos to you for like drawing those boundaries. 'Cause like most of the people I know who are super, you know, that even when I was working at a corporate consulting company, I was the only woman on the team. The men did not mind staying after work. Right. Because they had wives to go and pick up their kids and things. But most of the women, most of the people I know in this industry who are very adversely affected by this, like mandatory social time are women that have to go pick up their kids, take them to the doctor, go take them here or there. It's just not really, it's not a realistic expectation and it's certainly not fair.
Yeah. And I think it's just super counterproductive. And I see it again and again where companies do that. And then every month, every other month, people leave, you know, one or two people leave and people are leaving, but they think this is how they're going to keep the team together. It's clearly not working. What you need to do is give them their time back, right? Yeah. One of the best ways of doing that is to let them work remotely. So they can take care of their family and still work. And as you said, sometimes you want to take a break. You want to go for a walk and then come back and finish up later. And what matters is that you are bringing value to your employer, which you are. And
absolutely. And to your point, like 4 hours spent at home, like I finished my work so much faster since I started working remote, which almost made me like work less hours, but because it was so much more concentrated time versus when you're in office. Oh, well, since you're here, I wanted to ask you about this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so much time just evaporates when you're in an office. But yeah, I mean, it definitely depends. Like I definitely know people who would want to go in a couple of days a week to just touch base. And I totally get that, but you know, we'll see. I think, I think it's going to be difficult for companies to justify immediately after having laid off all these people to continue to pay millions of dollars in real estate, commercial real estate, you know, when on some random date that they choose. I'm hoping it'll be more like a phasing in and then maybe kind of like not returning to how it was before.
Right. And one of the things, one of the perks, I call it a perk, but not really. It should be everybody's right, in my opinion, to have an office where you can close the door, have some quiet time. As a creative person, developers are creative. That's why when I asked you how you'd want to describe yourself, and you said React Native engineer and entrepreneur, which is great. But then it's funny because I noticed, I'm old enough to know when we started calling ourselves engineers. We didn't used to call ourselves engineers. But because we say engineer, it sounds like it's regimented. You know exactly what to do. There's a blueprint. We've done it thousands of times. Let's do it again. That's not what we're doing. You can call it engineering if you like, but it's kind of an art. It's a black art where every project is kind of new in a lot of ways. So it's funny. But what happens is when you're doing creative work, you need to be able to think. What I've seen, unfortunately, is that a lot of times you have a very open space, a giant hall with dozens and dozens, and maybe sometimes hundreds of people in one area, all talking to each other. And sometimes they're made to sit in circles. Apparently that increases collaboration. Okay. That is the weirdest thing I have ever experienced, because all it does is it's noise. Now I have to, what we do is we all go and buy these noise canceling headphones so that we can get this stupid noise out. Nobody gets an office. Nobody gets an office anymore. I don't understand this. But when I work from home, I get to work in an office. It's something it's so much more enjoyable. I love it. But, you know, I'm sure there are some people who like to be in kind of a kind of like in the marketplace. You go into a marketplace, try to do work.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last time I was in that open floor plan was when I was in a newsroom years ago. But it was an open floor plan like that. And you'd have to put in your headphones just to like, I wouldn't even put music on, just to like focus. So that you could write,
unbelievable that this is how we've decided that we should make people sit so I can see you. You can always see me. There is no concept of privacy in offices.
Yeah.
It is so weird.
Yeah.
It's a definitely human need for
like,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was saying that privacy is a human need. You need alone time. You can't be in the middle of the street. Like, it's like being homeless, right? Literally, the homeless people, I think they don't have shelter. They don't have this. But the thing that they don't really have is privacy. Everything is out in the open, and that's demeaning, right? It's not good for your self-esteem, I believe. Anyway, you're saying something.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that's a really good point, because it's almost like this social media surveillance state has kind of like, you know, grown alongside this open office plan. And I've had cubicles and stuff too. I think the cubicles are kind of dumb, but at least you can just like focus. And I will say, you know, for folks at home who may or may not have, they're working from home. Like, I think that the turning point for me in terms of productivity was just to make a space in my home. This is just where I do work. This is like my workspace, and I never sit there unless I'm doing work. Mm-hmm. And I never, you know, hang out there unless I'm doing work, because I've also done, you know, like, you know, freelance work. And so I'm at home and I'm watching TV and I'm on the couch and I'm coding. And it just kind of ends up like work is your whole house. If you do it like that, I found if I just like concentrate it to one space, this is what I do when I'm here. It's just easier to focus and to get that kind of like tunnel vision, to get into the flow and to just get the work done. I think this whole conversation goes back to like, I really hope that the work from home or the remote work, opportunities persist past this, you know, COVID crisis in the United States. So, I mean, we're really talking realistically into 2022, right? Hopefully we'll be, you know, checking in at some point in 2022 and there's still, you know, as many or much more remote options than there were in 2019. And then also that, you know, these opportunities for individuals to control their own destinies a little bit more, whether that's, you know, being a contractor or, you know, not having to go to this happy hour in your personal time, even if you don't drink. You know, I don't know. I really do hope that, you know, the light at the end of this tunnel is that the American work experience is transformed just a little bit in a way that's going to make life a little bit better for many people.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's no one size fits all, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Some people like the rigidity of and the structure of a W-2 type of arrangement. They like office space. They like to, I know a lot of people who just like to be with their colleagues all the time. They don't like to work alone. Okay, there's that group. And then there's the rest of us who actually prefer a little privacy, a little bit freedom of time, and a little less structure. So we should create an environment, a community or an industry where everybody's accommodated. All right. Yeah. We talked about how women are disadvantaged because they don't fit into that mold because the culture, quote unquote, culture has been created by men. And we're not really thinking about all the other things women have to worry about, right? We are started to do that, but we don't quite understand that because we're incapable of doing that because we have created a rigid structure. We believe that structure is what makes us successful. Actually, you're successful in spite of that. Then we
and then
we have this other problem of this lack of empathy. We talk about this in this podcast, and we have had these conversations so many times.
Sure.
I'm so happy that we got to talk because it's really good to catch up with you and know that you are doing well, you know, and we didn't get a chance to talk to you about specifics about your new practice. And I wanted to talk to you about how you are actually getting new clients, what strategies you're using, and perhaps we can, you know, learn more about what works, what doesn't work, and my personal experiences as well. So if you have time, we really would like to have you back.
I would love to be back. Thank you so much for having me. And if anybody wants to reach out or has any questions, you can find me on the internet anywhere at Sarachicad, Sarachicad. That's, you know, Twitter, Instagram, everything. And then I'm on LinkedIn, so feel free to reach out there as well.
Awesome. I'm going to have all of these links and everything. Let me see if I can put the URL on the screen right now. So it's going to be mentoringdevelopers.com/episode84. We're going to have all the links and all that other good stuff. And if you're watching this on YouTube, then it will be in the description as well. So it was really good to have you on Thanksgiving. I hope I didn't ruin it completely for you and you get a chance to have a nice Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, thank you. No, this was great. And I really appreciate you making the time on Thanksgiving as well. And no, like my partner's great. He's making everything. So it'll be ready when I'm done.
That is awesome. Okay. We need to stay in touch and we need to have you back. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
For show notes and transcripts, visit us at mentoringdevelopers.com.